This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the third annual National Conference on Black Power. Tonight's guest, black militant Leroy Jones from the conference in Philadelphia. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City, substituting for vacationing Del Shields, is Russ Gibb.
Good evening. Well, Mr. Leroy Jones, the scheduled guest for tonight's program on Night Call, is still tied up in a meeting at the Convention of Black Power in Philadelphia, and we have asked that Mr. Robert Sonny Carson fill in. But getting to tonight's subject, changes in attitudes and positions are going on in the black leadership community today. And Whitney Young committed his traditionally conservative Urban League to the rather radical banner of black power a few months ago. Phil Hutchins, the new head of SNCC, isn't advocating violence anymore. His watchwords nowadays are, be angry, but be smart. In other words, don't give Whitey the excuse to kill you. Our guest tonight, Mr. Robert Sonny Carson, is the former chairman of the Brooklyn Corps, and in the last few months he has repudiated the National Corps organization because of their reluctance to take a strong stand on black power and their lack of understanding of the needs of black people. You may speak to Mr. Carson directly on our national number, area code 212-749-3311. And you may call Collect. In New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. Mr. Carson, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What's the purpose of this Black Power Conference?
Same purpose as the so-called good citizens of this country were gathered in Miami and are now in Chicago.
To pick a candidate?
To get together.
What do you mean by getting together, Sonny?
I mean that we black people can get together just as those so-called good citizens could get together in Miami and Chicago.
Recently, you changed or took the Brooklyn Corps organization out of the national organization. Why did you do this?
Because we felt that every vehicle was needed to combat this racist society. And so, realizing that that organization was not prepared to go down the same kind of road that we were, we decided to step out.
Isn't there a danger that in stepping out you are splintering the black power?
There's always danger living in a society where cowboys are the good guys when killing Indians who were really the landowners here before these people intruded. Danger is, as American, as cherry pie. And we cannot be susceptible to any more danger than just living an everyday life in so-called America.
Well, this is the danger that you say that the black man faces. But what about the danger politically that the black organizations in this country are going to face from breaking up into many separate entities? Do you think that this is going to do the overall black power structure good or evil?
That is the concern of the people who are part of those black organizations, and we would have to concern ourselves with that. And it's our own destiny that we are determining, and I don't think that I can answer that any differently than I am now.
You made the comment, or we have it quoted here, to the effect that Corps ceased to understand black power. What do you mean by black power, and what would you mean by understanding black power?
Black power to me is something that I do not have to explain to anyone. And I don't think that one has to relate what it means to other people. But being that I'm on the show tonight, I'll just give you what I mean about black power.
Okay.
When I say black power, I'm talking about pride and respect and dignity. And if I can't have those three things, then everybody that's preventing me from getting these things had better watch out.
What about the individual, the white individual, who fights the white society in its racism? What about this individual? How do you look upon him?
It's his business. I have no concern with him. I live in a black community, which is a nation within itself. I'm not a citizen of this country, nor the state, nor the city. I'm a citizen of a black community, and I'm not concerned with what goes on in Chicago and in Greenwich Village.
Sonny, we have a caller standing by in Statesboro, Georgia, a Mr. Paul Franklin. Mr. Franklin, your comment, please.
I have a question I'd
yes,
like
sir.
To ask. And the question I'd like to ask is to your guest, does he believe that the leaders of the black power, such as Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown, what does the average black man in the street think of these people? I mean, does he feel that they represent him, or do they feel that he's a radical, they're radicals, or just what is his opinion on these people?
Well, you tell your listener that he would have to go and ask the average black man. If he wants my opinion, then let him ask me for it.
Paul?
Yes?
Are you a black man?
No, I'm not.
Any other questions you have?
What does he personally feel on these people? Does he support them, or what does he think about them?
Is he talking to me?
Yes, Sonny. You can talk directly to him.
I can?
Yes.
Well, he hasn't spoken directly to me yet.
Well, what do you feel about this?
I feel that Rap Brown should be president of the United States.
Yes?
Why do you say that, Sonny?
Because I live in the United States, and I think Rap Brown's a great brother.
Well, a few minutes ago, you told me that you didn't really, you weren't a part of the country, and now you're telling me you are. Where do you stand, sir?
Well, I'm talking about when we do become the United States.
When the country finally gets itself together.
Yes, or when it eventually becomes all black.
Do you think that really can happen? Paul, thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, thank you very much.
We have another caller standing by in New York City, Mr. Robert Green. And Robert is listening on WLIB-FM in New York. Robert, your question, please.
Hello, I'd like to direct this question to Mr. Carson.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Carson.
Hi.
I am a black man, and I would like to know whether or not you feel that the concept of black power is one that is clearly defined to the black masses of America. And as a philosophical concept, do you feel it will be one that will motivate the people to consciousness and self-awareness, which will in turn enable them as a unified body of people to work as a single unit towards gaining these objectives that you have mentioned, such as dignity, self-pride, humanity, and in general, an introduction into the cultural and social aspects of this country?
Yes, brother, first of all, let me say peace to you, because I always trust my brothers.
Peace and to you.
Salute. Black power, as is defined, or been defined by the so-called racist news media, has been made into a joke.
Yeah, distortion. Yeah.
Right. Now, at this conference, front, and that front will then begin to really set up the true concept of black power and will make black people aware of their true heritage and make them aware of what this oppression has done to us, and will eventually be the vehicle that will be in the forefront of our struggle for survival and then liberation.
What I wanted to really get at was whether or not you feel the concept of black power, after it's completely worked out and finally projected into the American culture, do you feel that it would run into difficulty, say, with the philosophy that motivates the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or the philosophical platforms that guide the actions of NAACP, say?
Well, let me say this. As I said before, the Black United Front will speak for all black people. It will be the umbrella arm for all organizations, I hope. And as far as something assimilating into the American culture, this will never happen, because America has no culture. The only culture that it does have was given to her by the black man. And we are now taking our culture away from them, so they have nothing. So we can forget about the American culture, and we can go on to implement or create a beautiful black nation within a nation here.
Bob, I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Yes, sir.
One more question,
surely,
please. This is something that I think is really important. I mean, black people have been the victims of genocidal institutions in this country for 400 years, and don't you feel that this country is our country, and don't you feel that we should work towards entering and affecting the political and economical and social decisions that make this country a world power? Don't you feel that the role of the black man is far more greater than just becoming a separate nation within a nation?
No, first of all, let me say that working within the system has not worked for the black man. We are a separate nation already and always have been. We cannot become a nation until we destroy the beast that has oppressed us. That is, we'll have to destroy the oppressive system that has kept us in so-called ghettos and in slavery for 400 years. Until we can begin to find out who we are, then we won't know where we're going.
Well, what are you going to do about the hundreds and thousands of brothers who have been drawn into military service, who have gone through a re-socialization process, and who will come out and be loyal American citizens, and who in the inevitable end will in all probability be the very individuals whom you will have to liquidate to bring about this concept of black power?
I think that the brothers who come out of the military service will finally see the light. And let me say this. Freedom will come to us by whatever means necessary. And sometimes it means that some of your loved ones will have to go. I don't care to really get into a long dialogical thing here with you, because I feel that brothers should sit down in a closet and discuss our own destiny. And if you care to, and I understand you live in New York City area, I wish you'd take the opportunity to call me after Monday at 857-6026, which is Brooklyn Gore's number, and I'll talk with you all day, okay?
Would you repeat that number again?
857-6026.
1-800-557-6026.
Robert Green, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace, brother.
Peace unto you.
Thank you, Bob, for calling Night Call. We're going to take a break right now on the Night Call Network, and I'd remind you that our national number is area code 212-749-3311. Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Leroy Jones after station identification. America is growing smaller. Speed of communication, speed of travel, and the worldwide revolution in human rights. These things bind us together into a common destiny. One man's problem is every man's problem. More and more we realize the only real problem is the human problem. People who need jobs, better education, better places to live, better medical care, and better hope for the future. A chance to become part of the American dream of freedom and opportunity. But for the American dream to succeed, each of us must be responsive to the needs of others. To give a damn about our brother or our sister, black or white. You'll find some answers to how you can help give a damn, how you can offer your help, in a new booklet called Whose Crisis? Yours. You can get a copy without charge by writing to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, New York. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Leroy Jones about the Black Power Conference. Again, Russ Gibb.
Our scheduled guest for this evening, Mr. Leroy Jones, was tied up at a meeting at the Black Power Conference in Philadelphia. And pinch hitting for him this evening is Mr. Robert Sonny Carson, who is the chairman of the former Brooklyn chapter of CORE. And within the last few months, Mr. Carson took the Brooklyn CORE organization out of the national organization. Sonny, during the last call, you said that you didn't want to air black man's feelings or discussions. You didn't feel it was proper to air where white people could hear. Why this reluctance?
I don't want anything to do with white people. They're a disease and they're affected the earth. I want them to stay away from me, and I'm going to stay away from them.
Can you do that in today's world?
Yes, I can.
How does one do this?
By being oneself and knowing who one is.
Do you think that the majority of black people in this country go along with this philosophy?
All of the black people do.
We have a caller standing by now, a listener on WLIB-FM, Mr. Burl Williams. Mr. Williams, your question, sir.
Mr. Carson?
Yes.
I'd like to know, since you said that you are in the struggle for liberation of black people in America, that you said that we as a people may have to lose some of our loved ones. I'm sort of interested to know if this struggle would come. Do you advocate a sort of a violent struggle to get the beast off of our people?
Oh, wow. I advocate freedom and liberation by whatever means necessary.
Would you go along with the idea expressed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that it is better for black people, as a people, to express their anger, but to seek more wisdom and the knowledge that the white man, being the beast that he is, would exterminate our people if given the opportunity? Since in the light of the situation in Chicago with white students being beaten by white policemen, then would you go along with the idea of that?
Yes, I would.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
Thank you.
We have a caller standing by now in Indianapolis, listening on WTLC, Mrs. Ramona Bowie. Mrs. Bowie, your question, please.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Mr. Carson.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to ask you a question, and I'd like to tell you something, and I'd like to make it as lengthy as I can. Now, for 11 years, I was on welfare because I was unable to reach out and take care of my children. And then through listening to people like you talk, I felt that I didn't need to be a dependent on the state or to anyone, and that the only way to hold myself up to be a woman was to get a job and take care of my children. So I was trained and I got a job. But yet you sit up and you say that you don't want to have any connections with the white man or talk to the white man, and this is the only people that help me. I'd like for you to tell me, how is it that you go to your own race for help when your neighbors are not together? How can you sit up and preach that the only thing there is black power when there should be togetherness instead of a white power or a black power?
Well, sister, the only thing I'm saying is that black people today have become aware of who they are, and we are mighty people. We are people who can trace our history back 18,000 years, where we didn't need anyone to help us create the most successful society that ever was on earth at that particular time. We were the creators of many, many sciences, architects of villages and cities, navigators, builders of canals. I'm saying, madam, that all of the things today can be traced back to that society. I'm also saying that even though the technical advances or the technical things are all in the hands of the so-called master race, we have helped put them there. We have, by one way or another, helped this man become the most powerful man on earth. We know him better than anybody else. And so I'm saying that he cannot leave us too far behind. Where we're at, we do not need this man, and the man needs us more than we need him. I'm saying that I get along without him, and I think that everybody can get along without him. Just like you finally seen the light and got off of the welfare, then everybody should begin to see the light. The welfare system is a weapon created by this man to make people dependent on him. And I would think that it would not be right for me to get into a whole lot of dialogue with you about what my opinion is. And I would offer the same thing that I offered to the brother before. You can call me anytime. And my number's 857-6026, and I'll discuss it further with you.
Well, let me ask you this. Whose radio station are you on discussing this? Is this a white man's station or a colored man?
A black man asked me to do it.
And who is backing whatever organization
madam,
that you
I have. Look, madam, I don't care to discuss it any longer with you.
Well, then why
I'm
would you get on the radio if you
couldn't
answer questions? And why would a race want you to represent them when you sit up and talk and can't even answer your own race?
All right.
And Mr. Gibbs?
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question also.
Yes.
Why is it that you can't get an average American Negro to get up and discuss things about our race instead of someone that's talking things that the average Negro is not going along with?
Well, I think the feeling is that we have to hear all voices. Now, you see, my personal opinion, if you want this, is simply that, look, we all live on this planet. Mr. Carson may feel that he can separate himself. This is fine. As an individual, this is his right. I feel that he has every right to speak out, to disagree, to tear me up, to tear me down, to tear you up, to answer or not to answer a question. Because ultimately, we're all brothers. And whether Mr. Carson can accept this or not, the point is that this is how I feel. And I will accept him. He doesn't have to accept me.
Well, don't you think that sometimes some of this disrupts the young people's mind? I have teenagers.
Yes, I think that sometimes teenagers do get confused, as well as adults, about conversations like we're having this evening. However, we must be willing to allow young people and all people to make their own judgments. And the only way you can come to making your own judgment is by hearing many sides and making up your own mind. I cannot educate any person. All I can do is set up situations. People teach themselves. This is my feeling. And as far as your comment about average Negro, I don't know what an average Negro is. I don't even know what an average white man is.
There are average American Negroes. They don't classify themselves off as the hate. If anything, they classify themselves as more togetherness, more so than a white power or a black power.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is that you're being given the opportunity, and I think that you're saying to me that you think yourself as an average American Negro. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
You're being allowed to speak as well as Mr. Carson.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have another caller standing by now in Pittsburgh on WAMO, Mr. Louis Bates. Mr. Bates, your question, please.
Hello, Brother Carson?
Yes, brother.
I have a few questions in my mind that have come to forefront during these times in the, the political situation is upon us. And it's relative to the black situation in every community. As you well know, if you've ever lived in our community, you know that crime that originates from the white man runs rampant, like dope and prostitution, which he benefits from highly. And I'd like to know what your feeling is on how to get rid of this from our community, to train the brothers to stay out of this trap.
I think we should take a page out of the Algerian Revolution, first of all. Two of the things that have got to be done eventually is that we're going to have to stop all of the dope from coming into our community, and we're going to have to close down all of the liquor stores. We can't talk about having a revolution until we begin to do these things. One of the things that we have been trying to do in Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is leading up to what I've just said, is that we have a program directed towards the returning brothers who are just leaving the penitentiaries. We feel that the kind of program that is geared towards, keeping these brothers from returning to that hang-up is very important right at this moment, because a lot of our real warriors are in those penitentiaries, man. You know that.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, anyway, we have been kind of successful with this program, and the proof of the pudding is that one brother who had been on dope since he was 14, and he's now 24, has not returned to this habit since we began to talk to him and introduce him to our program about 2.5 years now.
That's extremely good.
And there are others, too, including a sister who has become very much involved in the struggle and hasn't even thought about dope, I don't think, in a year. So what I'm saying is that, to stand up and begin to tackle this evil all at once means that the revolution is truly on. And you know what elements we would have to battle if we began to do this all at once.
Well, this would go all the way up into the president's office, because if you notice that the all these guys hollering about let's shoot the rioters and let's kill rioters, but they didn't say one thing about shutting down the mafia.
Right.
They don't say a word about the mafia in their political campaigns, which is running this country.
Right.
And even the black people that are blind to this, they see something happening in their community and don't know it's coming right from the crooks.
Right.
And it's coming right from their mayor, right from their public safety director, on down the line, right from the mafia. They're telling them what to do, when to do, and how to do it, and yet they're too blind to see this. They say the black militants are wrong.
Right.
Well, I tell you, there's no black militants, the black freedom.
Right, brother. Well,
Mr. Bates, it's time for a station break on...
You know you're not going to have to continue.
And I want to thank you for calling Night
okay.
Call.
Peace. Okay, salam, brother.
Yes, salam, brother.
If you'd like to call us here at Night Call, you may do so collect by dialing area code 212-749-3311. Our local number is 866-5010, and our guest tonight is Mr. Robert Sonny Carson, who is the chairman of the former Brooklyn Corps, and within the last few months took the Brooklyn Corps organization out of the National Corps organization. Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Leroy Jones after station identification. Next week on Night Call, the third annual National Conference on Black Power concludes in Philadelphia this coming weekend. On Monday night, Del Shields will answer your questions direct himself on what he saw and heard as the only unofficial observer allowed into the deliberations of the Black Power Conference. Tuesday, militant Julius Lester on Look Out Whitey, Black Power's Gonna Get Your Mama, the title of his new book. Wednesday, an ex-convict from the Fortune Society answers your questions on the problems of rehabilitating lawbreakers. Thursday, Federal Communications Commissioner Nicholas Johnson on racial equality and programming and hiring practices. And Friday, the head of New York City's Neighborhood Youth Corps on cooling it in the summertime. All next week on Night Call, the first and only nationwide call-in show. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Leroy Jones about the Black Power Conference. Again, Russ Gibb.
Hello, and again, Mr. Leroy Jones, who was our scheduled guest here on Night Call tonight, is tied up in a meeting at the Black Power Conference in Philadelphia, and was not able to be our guest, but we have pinch hitting for Leroy tonight, Mr. Robert Sonny Carson. And you may call and talk to Mr. Carson direct at our National Night Call number, area code 212-749-3311, and you may dial us collect, or our local number here in New York at 866-5010. Now, for our listeners on the West Coast, you may call us at area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. Sonny, you've been in attendance at the Black Power Conference for the last few days. Would you care to comment on some of the developments at the conference?
All of the developments will be revealed at the end of the conference, which is Sunday afternoon. The only thing that I can say is that I'm an active participant here, and there are about 3,000, perhaps 4,000 beautiful black people here who are rising at 7 a.m. and participating a full day in the workshops. There are workshops going on now, and it's beautiful to be in Philadelphia right at this moment, and every black person in this country should be here.
Mr. Carson, what are some of the meetings, the topics that are being discussed at these meetings?
Well, the same topics that were discussed in Miami and and Chicago, you know, the pie in the sky. We're discussing the reverse. We're discussing freedom, liberation, survival.
Mr. Garson, we have a caller standing by in Toledo, Ohio, a listener on WCWA, Mr. Clifford Shaw. Mr. Shaw, your question, please, sir.
Mr. Carson, I would like to know your opinion on the Negroes boycotting the Olympics. And if they do intend to boycott them, and what do you think will happen?
Well, if the Negroes boycott the Olympics, boy, you can forget about it, because that means that the revolution has been won. We blacks definitely will boycott it.
I wonder. I heard that that there will possibly not be a boycott, but they will participate, but will not accept their medals.
We're going to boycott everything that relates to whiteness.
How do you think this will help the cause or your cause?
Well, we're not worried about whether it will help our cause. We're only concerned with
What is the purpose of boycotting the Olympics, then?
Well, you'll have to ask the Negroes who are going to do it. And that was your question, I think. I'm not a Negro.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw, for calling Night Call.
Bye.
Sonny, Leroy Jones, who was our scheduled guest this evening... excuse me, couldn't make it. What meeting is he attending, do you know?
No, I imagine that he's wrapped up in his particular workshop, which is the cultural workshop, and Leroy's been quite busy. After all, he's one of our true heroes, and the people adore him, and he's probably so wrapped up that he couldn't take time out. And we wouldn't expect him to take time out, and when Bill calls me... I was kind of reluctant to really substitute, but being that it's for Leroy and knowing that Del Shields is the master of ceremonies on this program, I agreed.
Well, we really appreciate that. We have a listener now in New York City listening on WLIB, Carla Blakey. Carla, your question, please.
Well, I was listening to your program earlier, and I heard all the apathy from your guest speaker. I think it's Robert Russ Carson?
Robert Sonny Carson.
Robert Sonny Carson. He was saying that he thought that the Black Power movement was more or less sovereign. Right? May I stick with him?
Sure. Go right. You're on the line.
You believe that the Black Power movement is sovereign?
You talking to me?
Yes.
I don't know what you mean by sovereign.
I mean, it has precedence over all powers.
Certainly does.
It certainly does.
Right.
All right, then. I'm American Indian.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is American Black man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We had this country before even the white man came. Now, you came here after the white man came, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he brought you here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Against your better judgment, against your desires, against your wishes, he brought you here.
Right.
However, you still believe that the Black Power movement has precedence over the American Indian movement.
I didn't say that.
Oh, but you did. You said it had precedence over all other movements.
Right now.
Then it has precedence over the American Indian movement?
I wouldn't say that.
Then you're contradicting yourself in whatever you say.
Well, madam, I don't know what you're trying to do. I'm only saying...
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm asking you to clarify a point.
Well, if you want me to do that, why don't you give me an opportunity to?
All right.
All right, I consider the American Indians as part of our movement, and if you thought that I was leaving you out, let me apologize now. First, another thing I'd like to say is that not only has the white man taken us off, but he's taken you off, too, in many more ways than he's killed your people off. I think that when he was out looking for the rich and wealthy Indies, he stumbled upon this land, and the first people he seen, he called Indians. And you accepted it.
Which is facetious to begin with.
Right. Well, let me discontinue that.
All right. Well, getting back to who has precedence.
Well, I just apologize. I said that you were part of the struggle.
Well, it's not a question of whether or not we are part of the struggle.
It isn't?
No.
It's a
question of who has precedence. Now, you're sitting up here, and you're saying we didn't...
I'm talking for my people, madam.
I understand this wholeheartedly.
Right.
I am married. My husband
mm-hmm.
is black,
mm-hmm.
and I am Indian.
Mm-hmm.
This means that our family is black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is as much me as it is you.
Anybody that is non-white is oppressed in this society.
Then clarify yourself.
Why should I?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, if...
I thought I just had.
If it brought enough question for me to call in and question it, then I'm sure it brings enough question for the public to question it.
Right. Well, let the public do it. I don't think that you should do it.
Well, I'm doing it, and I am the public.
Here you are? Well,
yes.
I thought I just clarified myself.
Well, you just clarified yourself to me singularly.
Well, that's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to anybody else at this particular moment.
Then what are you trying to achieve?
What am I trying to achieve?
Yes.
I'm trying to achieve respect, dignity, and pride.
It's respect.
For all my people.
Respect and what?
Dignity and pride.
Respect, dignity, and pride.
Right.
This is something that should naturally be to all men.
No, it isn't. No, as long as you have a society which suppresses our culture, then it is being denied us.
Well, any man that can survive the plague of the white man, any man that can retain his dignity under the suppression of the white man, can remain.
Well, I would say that there is no question of the kind of people that we are because we have survived. But due to this man's brainwashing devices, a lot of us still feel that we're Negroes.
And oh,
one
definitely.
Day, one day, all of the so-called black people will wake up and they will find that they are black. Then there will be no stopping the movement for freedom.
Well, don't you think that by trying to impress upon this small-minded generation that we should present to them a picture more towards their idealism, not so much of give us or we'll shoot sort of thing?
I have never said that.
You know, I mean, not so much violence, but don't you think that if we presented a picture of strength, equality in ourselves, never mind equality with them, we're not seeking equality because equality we have.
I don't think that we have it.
We have it. We're born with it.
No, I don't think
so. It's just a question of whether we use it or not.
Well, we'll have to differ on that. Well, let me say this. In Bedford-Stuyvesant, we have a school, the Malcolm Garvey New School of African Thought. And right now we have 126 young black people, kids, enrolled there. And not once will you hear anyone say, hate the whitey, hate the pig, hate the tom, shoot to kill. We only tell them about their beauty. We only tell them about their heritage. We only tell them about their ancestry. We teach them that black is beautiful and it's beautiful to be black. We feel that this is the kind of tools that the young blacks are going to need to be able to survive.
Yeah, well,
now,
this is the reason
wait a minute,
I
hold
called
it now.
You.
Hold it. See, I just want to clarify what you just said or accused me of have saying. You have not heard me say once that I was violent and that it was time to shoot or kill. I only said that if anyone wanted freedom, then they would have to achieve that freedom by whatever means necessary.
Right. Well, the reason I called you was because I heard the woman that called you earlier talking about, well, why don't you represent the average American black man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, I can hear it from your point, and I can hear it from her point, mm-hmm. and I can hear it from our point.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I called you was because that I thought it was necessary to clarify the fact
Good.
That each man reaches his own
right.
means by his own effort.
Good. You did me a favor.
And that's all I was calling you for.
Thank you.
Carla, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have time for one more caller. We have about 1 minute, and we have a Mr. Dave Schuller standing by in Newark, New Jersey, a listener on WLIB. Your question, Dave.
Hello, how are you? May I speak to Mr. Carson?
Go right ahead, Mr. Schuller. You have about a minute.
Right. Mr. Carson, since we have such short time, I would like to ask you on the political situation, which I know you're not a part of, but in your opinion, as a black man, and I'm a black man, what do you think? What is your opinion about the best choice for the political, let's say, the government, I mean, and the black man future, Humphrey or Nixon?
You have a choice?
Do we have a choice?
No,
I'm trying to figure out.
Right, no, I think the best man for the job is Dick Gregory or Eldridge Cleaver.
Well, this is true, but again, we have no choice there, and I would like to know, being a black man, and a voter, I would like to know what to do, because as far as Mr. Gregory, which I highly respect, and also yourself, and all the other black brothers. I mean, what can we do to really put a man in or to help the political situation as it stands now?
Well, I would think that you would use all of your energy to impress other black people that they should vote for one of our black brothers who is running.
Right.
Don't you think that we have a chance?
We have a chance.
Oh, good.
Well, I would say we have a chance, but again, will the brothers stick together?
Well, as you said before, man, we don't have no choice with Humphrey or Nixon.
Right.
So why not give the brothers a chance?
Why not give the brothers a chance?
Gentlemen, it's right, time for that break.
Okay.
Mr. Schuller, thank you for calling Night Call, sir. If you'd like to call us here at Night Call, you can call us collect at area code 212-749-3311. Our guest tonight, Mr. Robert Sonny Carson. Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Leroy Jones after station identification. Monday night on Night Call, host Del Shields' exclusive report on the Black Power Conference, which concludes in Philadelphia Sunday. Night Call was invited in as the only news media allowed to cover the actual working sessions of this third annual conference, which has decided the immediate future direction the militant Black Power movement will take. What does it mean for black and white in the continuing Second American Revolution? More violence or more responsible action in the fields of education, economics, and politics? Del Shields himself is our guest Monday night. And you speak for yourself, direct to him. Ask him your own questions. Share your own opinions with the rest of the country. Monday night, Del Shields, the only newsman allowed inside, brings you his exclusive report on the third annual conference on Black Power. On Night Call, the first and only nationwide call-in show on vital issues. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Leroy Jones about the Black Power Conference. Again, Russ Gibb.
Mr. Leroy Jones, our scheduled guest for tonight's Night Call show, is still in a meeting at the Black Power Conference in Philadelphia and was unable to be our guest. Standing in for Mr. Jones is Mr. Robert Sonny Carson. And Mr. Carson is the chairman of the former Brooklyn Corps organization, which 2 or 3 months ago repudiated the National Corps organization. And the Brooklyn Corps chapter repudiated the National organization because of their reluctance to take a strong stand on black power and their lack of understanding of the needs of black people. If you'd like to talk to Mr. Carson, you may do so by dialing our national number, 212-749-3311. Our next caller is standing by in Indianapolis, and she is listening on WTLC, Miss Mary Evans. Miss Evans, your question, please.
Mr. Carson? Mr. Carson?
Yes.
I'm a black writer. I heard your call from Indianapolis earlier and thought that it was fair that it should be answered by another Indianapolis person. There are no average black people, which is probably why you've had no calls from average black people. I have a great deal of admiration for the Black United Front, and I think if any group is qualified to lead the direction that the Black Fight for Freedom has taken, it is this group of young people. I want to commend you on the way you have presented a concept of black power that the man in the street buys, agrees with wholeheartedly, and I'd like to say to the people who are listening that Mr. Carson does not stand alone. There are millions of us out here. Thank you, Mr. Carson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Evans, for calling Night Call. Again, our national number here at Night Call is area code 212-749-3311. Our local New York number is 866-5010. On the West Coast, you may call us here at Night Call by dialing area code 212-749-3311. 3357. Mr. Carson.
Yes.
At the end of the conference, which will take place on Sunday, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you feel, and this again would be a guesstimate on your part because obviously the conference isn't over, what do you think will be the major statement that is issued? In other words, what direction do you think the conference will take, politically, economically, and socially?
Mm-hmm. Well...
As a big order, I realize that, sir.
Well, at this time of night, and after coming out of the workshop where I spent 12 hours, I don't know what I could say.
That's Whitey doing it to you again. I'm sorry, Mr. Carson.
Whitey can't do anything to me anymore.
Yes, sir. We have a caller. Would you prefer we go to the caller?
I don't care.
Okay. We have a caller standing by in Detroit, a listener on WJLB, Miss Jennifer Jones. Miss Jones, your question, please.
I live in Detroit, and I've attended a few Black Power meetings, but I don't feel that I have been properly informed. What can I do about this?
Oh, are you Black?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 15.
15?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see. Do you know Brother Milton Henry?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you go down and have a nice talk with him?
Where can I reach him?
At the bookstore, isn't that?
Right, at the bookstore.
What's the name of that bookstore, Robert?
I don't know, right.
Also, would Albert Klieg?
Yes, yes. I know him too.
Well, have you attempted to ask him or sit down and talk with him?
Yes, I tried, but he's rather busy.
He's rather busy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you send me a letter with your address?
Mm-hmm.
And phone number, and I will get in touch with Brother Milton or Reverend Klieg, and I will ask them to do me a favor and get in contact with you, okay?
Okay, where can I write you?
You can write me at 429
mm-hmm.
Clinton Avenue,
uh-huh.
Brooklyn 11238, New York.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for calling Night Call, Jennifer. That brings up an interesting point, Bob. If an individual wants more information from you, can we say that anybody would be allowed to write to you?
Yes.
And in fact, I think we could suggest that if they care to write us here at Night Call, we'd be glad to forward the mail to your office or your home.
Uh-huh.
When you say Black, that conjures up in a lot of white people an image of a people who are trying to make it, and yet it also conjures up in some minds of a man who is an enemy. When you think of a white man, what do you conjure up?
I don't even think about them anymore, man. And like when I conjure up a Black man, I think of I'm coming up with the truth. And when I come up to truth, I know that it's beauty and it's the light. So, I don't even think I even need to go any farther than that. It is really funny sometimes to realize that once upon a time one was a Negro and one didn't realize, you know,
mm-hmm.
what blackness really was about. I couldn't describe it. Kids.
really don't have nothing going for them, who come up with names like the zombies and the beetles and the animals and the monkeys and the
that's an interesting
papas, you know, which is ridiculous.
It's an interesting observation.
Where they really are. So, you know, when talking about us, one really has to be proud because we are what we are, and we don't have to defend it.
Well, Mr. Carson, we have come to that point in our show where we can't take any more calls. And while Mr. Carson is collecting his thoughts for a closing comment, let me say that we know that many of you try to reach us here at Night Call and get a busy signal. We're sorry about that, but how about writing to us with any question or comment you have for me or our guest? I can't promise all of you an answer, but I can promise that your letter will be considered. Address your mail to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. Mr. Jones, we have about 2 minutes, sir. What else do you feel must be said?
Well, if anybody out there wants to continue talking with me, I'm at LO8-3300, room 1502. And to really end, I can only say that black is beautiful. And it's beautiful being black. And it's beautiful being in Philadelphia at this moment.
Will a conference be held next year in Philadelphia, do you know?
I don't know. I cannot say whether it will be held in Philadelphia. I don't think it will be. Maybe there will be 100 different conferences going on at the same time in 100 different black communities across the country.
If an individual wanted to read about black power, what books would you recommend or authors?
The autobiography of Malcolm X.
That's required, right?
That's required reading. Also, I Am a Man by Johnny Williams, Eldridge Cleaver's Soul on Ice, anything by Leroy Jones.
How about Julius Lester?
I would say Julius Lester is all right, too.
And if an individual has difficulty getting these books, is there a center for black studies that they could contact?
Yes, they can get in contact with us, and we will forward them to probably the World Bookstore or any of the other black stores that are now beginning to carry only the works of black people. We here, I think, will begin to publish our own books anyway, so, you know. That problem will be eliminated very shortly, too.
Well, Mr. Carson, thank you very, very much for being our guest on Night Call.
You're welcome.
On Monday night, Del Shields will be back, and I'll be back. This is because Del will be covering the Black Power Conference for Night Call this weekend, and in a switch, he'll be the Night Call guest on Monday. This is Russ Gibb in New York, sitting in for Del Shields. Have a good weekend. Good night and peace.
On the Black Power Conference, which concludes on Sunday. Del Shields, back from vacation, is exclusively covering the closing sessions of the conference this weekend and will answer your questions direct himself on what he learns. Listen Monday night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.